Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast. I was just kicking my children out of the living room so that we didn't have to listen to their feet stampeding above me while we were recording. Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast. I am your host, Shay Elliott of the Elliott Homestead, joined by the beautiful Angela Reed of Parisian Farm Girl.
Hello.
Top of the morning to ya.
Yeah. Crikey. And crikey. All that. That's how my morning's gone. I've put in a full day at this point. Like, I always think of that scene in Return to Me. Return to Me is like this cult. Like, okay, it's Christmas time, so we're like Christmas vacation. We're pulling out all like the cult classics, but Return to Me is like a cult classic and our favorite. And at the end, the guy, which this totally references a conversation you and I had the other day. She's painting the, I can't think of the basilica in Florence, the proper name of it. She's painting it, and this waiter sits down to talk to her. He goes, I take my break now. Like, that's what we always say in this family. I take my break now.
There we are. I love that. I'm actually starting my Italian lessons, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
Speaking of Italian accents, I'm getting ready.
You're getting ready. You're starting them. You're getting ready to start them.
I'm actually preparing myself.
So the first time we went to Paris, okay, this was a long bleep time ago, we were just so happy. Like, we had finally done it, and we had just been there for 7 days and just, you know, blisters, no matter the proper shoeing, it doesn't matter. We were just completely changed forever. I referenced that, you know, the other day, talking about how it changed the way I eat. But it also changed our manners and the way, you know, I hate to say it, the cliche ugly American, right? Mm-hmm. It very much changed our approach to our mental approach to being outside, because the French are always outside. And then we got back to the Chicago suburbs and driving down the road and like nobody's outside. But on the airplane home were some very overly enthusiastic Americans. And if you're listening, I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry, because you kind of ruined 7 hours of my life. overly enthusiastic Americans who had done Paris and then Italy and then back to Paris to fly out. And she basically drank all the vodka on the plane on the ride home.
Like the plane's supply of vodka.
The plane's supply of the little mini, yes. Mini vodkas.
Yes.
She was sitting right behind us. And all she said for 7.5 hours was grazie, prego, to the flight attendant.
Oh.
Every time she would bring her something. And I was either going to kill myself or kill her. It was so bad. So that's another longstanding joke in this house, is grazie, prego. And then we say it like 800 times to really get on the other person's nerves.
Yeah. Really dig mm-hmm. in a little
Drive
bit.
Drive it home.
If a little bit is funny, a lot is really funny. Isn't that the way it goes?
Basically.
Well, this is really cute, because I think I've shared the only words of Italian I speak basically are coffee words, because yeah. Coffee. And so I said something to Stu the other day. I said, 2 cappuccinos, please. Like, in Italian, 2 cappuccino, por favore. And Will kept going around the rest of the day going, humma, numma, numma, humma, numma. Like, he couldn't remember the words, but he could just the cadence of my voice.
Again, with the Christmas vacation rest. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah.
It's so good. It's so good. Well, welcome to the podcast, listeners. This is where we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind, or trying to, mm-hmm. or at least hanging out together for an hour
right.
while the grind continues.
Yeah, like today, I'm just really wondering, like, is this really rescue-able?
Yes, also.
Or is it just about having a buddy?
Yes, it's having,
hey,
yeah.
Drown with me.
Exactly. Misery loves company. Actually, funny story, listeners, we don't have a clue what we're going to talk about today. it took everything in us to just sit down and silence the children and milk the cows and do the dishes. And so we're just going to hang out today and see what comes out, which is always when I start filling in the space with uncomfortable oversharing. And so stay tuned for that.
Please don't. And all of a sudden, my whole tribe is right below me at the kitchen sink, even though I specifically said, don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was listening to a podcast, two women hosts. So they were about hour long episodes and they had a studio and they actually had a studio where they went together to record their podcasts, and they would go and record a bunch of them all at once. And I thought, must be nice. It must be nice for them.
So we only need like 5,000 more of you to go over to patreon.com / Homemaker Chic podcast, sign up at like the bottom tier.
Yep.
And then maybe once every 3 years,
we can meet in Montana together. Maybe we can meet in Montana.
Well, actually, Joel has said that. He's like, you guys should just get an Airbnb halfway and just go and just muck it out.
Yeah, we should.
We could do that.
Absolutely.
Dry Farm could ship to the Airbnb. Yes. We have to make sure, because like there's some states, a couple, sorry, Michigan,
I know,
that they don't ship to.
It's all those Anheuser-Busch states. They
shut
really,
up. It is not. It they is ship too. To Wisconsin. They ship to Wisconsin. This is like, be they, careful, Shay.
I know.
You're talking to Midwesterners.
I know. Okay, you're right.
They're not over there drinking swanky IPA snob beer.
It is not snob beer. It is real beer. Angela
beer
Reed.
Snob beer. No.
I am a beer snob. That is totally. I am from the Pacific Northwest, my friend. This is microbrew territory.
I went to Patagonia and I drink IPA.
At least I don't drive a Subaru.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you have to Google this. You guys, you have to Google this if you want to just die laughing. A long time ago, there was this series, I don't know, and they did all the different like cliche stereotypes of Barbie.
Oh, was there a Pacific Northwest Barbie?
Oh, they were brilliant.
Oh, I bet she was wearing Birkenstocks, Patagonia.
She had Subaru keys.
She definitely had Subaru keys. A Starbucks in one hand, a microbrew in the other hand.
Oh, at least you know thyself. At least you got it down.
Know thyself. It's so true. Hey, real fast. Who was that singer who sang Meet Me in Montana? I want to say it was like Anne Murray. Is that even a person? This is me in Montana.
Stop.
I want to see the mountains in your eyes.
You said Anne Murray?
Yeah.
That's just weird.
I'm digging from like the recesses of my brain.
Google has been doing this thing to me, the great Satan Google. Like when I think of something, it shows up on a sidebar. I'm not even saying the words, but my mom was here last weekend. And we roller skated in the basement like crazy people. And we turned on like some serious 80s country, like from when I was like 6 years old. And I love me some Anne Murray.
And,
I was like, I can't believe you just said that.
I haven't thought of Anne Murray in 25 years. Although also it's Marie Osmond who sings Meet Me in Montana.
Marie Osmond. Yeah, I didn't really like
Marie Osmond.
Sure. I know I just offended a ton of people. The boomer crowd is like, you don't like the Osmonds? They're a little old for me, just saying.
All right, we're cueing this wine music. Goodness gracious. Maybe we should have chosen a Wilson Phillips song for our theme song or for our wine music.
We would actually have to pay rights if we
chose
it for a theme song. Yeah, we can't. But we can hold on for one more day and talk about another bottle of wine.
I see what you did there.
See how I did that? I didn't sing it, but I said it, so we don't have to pay for it.
Okay, sidebar. If you guys have not watched Hunt for the Wilderlings, Hunt for the Wilder People. Hunt for the Wilder People.
Am I Googling this? Right now?
It's on Netflix. It is a movie on Netflix called Hunt for the Wilder People.
Lots of
it
people has just Sam got Neill. Rid of Netflix, Jay.
No, you have to get it back to watch this movie. It has Sam Neill in it. Sam Neill from Dressed.
Jay, it can hear me. I typed Hunt F-O and it came up. It can hear you.
I know.
I hear you.
Alexa, stop listening to me. That's why I don't have an Alexa. That freaks me out. Okay. I'm focusing. Hunt for the Wilder okay. People. There is, it's one of my top two favorite movies of all time. I love this. Okay.
2016, PG-13.
Yeah.
From 2000. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So she, in that movie, they were going to record themselves, you know, film themselves singing Happy Birthday to they bring in an orphan into their family. Okay. And they're going to sing him Happy Birthday. They're going to give him his very first birthday celebration ever. Happy Birthday is copyrighted. So they have to pay a ton of money. They can't use it. Wait.
My kids told me that last year. They're like, did you know you can't use that in YouTube, just so you know?
Well, it expired last year. Yes, it did. But when they recorded this movie, they had to come up with an alternative because Happy Birthday was copyrighted. And so this is what you need to Google. Okay. Ricky Baker, Happy Birthday.
It came right up. I typed the word Ricky. It can hear us. I typed the word Ricky. Yeah. It came right up.
This is
this.
Our There's new birthday private. Song. This is
Hunt
the song
for the
we sing.
People?
No, this happy Ricky Baker happy birthday song.
Wait,
this is the song we sing for birthdays now because it is
Ricky Baker song.
My point is sometimes where copyrights exist, creativity flourishes on the other side of it. This was like totally made up on the set. We need a song to sing for his birthday. And it's so good.
And so the question is, will they let us play it on the show?
Yeah, we can play it because we're not on YouTube or anything. There's no, can you play it?
I'm trying. This innovative. Oh, no. Ads. Hang on.
Shh. Okay. Will it record? Put your mic up to you. I don't know if this will work. No, that's not it.
Okay, it says Trifecta, Ricky Baker song.
No, that's not the right one. Okay, listeners, just go Google it. Okay, Ricky Baker, happy birthday. It should be a scene where the three of them are sitting around a cake or at the table. It is the best song in the world. And I can't even remember why I was telling you that. But Hunt for the Wilder People, if you haven't watched it, just so you know, my second favorite movie, my first favorite movie of all time is Sing Street. If you need another good one to watch, go rent it on Amazon. Sing Street. Okay.
Are you sure we can play that here? I just found it on Amazon for 99 cents. They are trying to sell it.
Oh, it's on YouTube. Just go YouTube it.
I did. Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
Necessity is the mother of invention. And so, yeah, my kids told me last year, they're like, just so you know, on YouTube.
Yep.
Don't ever record singing Happy Birthday. Was it did Disney buy it? Let me guess.
No, it was the two sisters who wrote it, I think. Yeah. Okay. We're in wine time.
Okay.
All right. The wine music is faded now. Wah, wah. I'm drinking champagne again. Sparkling wine, even though it's not my birthday. Kelsapriese. I know I should move on to something else. I just haven't yet. Okay.
No. Never.
So this is the part of the podcast that is brought to you by Dry Farm Wines. These are the wines we want you to be drinking in your home. The theme of our first season here on the podcast was better, not more. And there is a reason for that, because we want to bring things into our home that enhance our home. None of this twaddle. And there is wine twaddle.
Oh, girl.
Be sure of that.
Best word.
It is. Charlotte Mason, yeah. Twaddle. Another little Google rabbit trail for you.
Right.
There is wine twaddle. Dry Farms is not that. Dry Farms are clean, organic, biodynamic, old world wines sourced from around the world, delivered to your doorstep by an amazing, amazing supplier that tests the purity of everything. One of the reasons that we promote these wines on the podcast is because they're the only wines we drink and because they're clean. They're feel-good wines. These will go with whatever diet you're on. So if you're doing keto or you're paleo, there's no sugar. There's no added yeast. Everything is naturally fermented. So what I'm drinking today, actually, before I tell you, go to dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchicpodcast. Nope, that's not right. /homemakerchic. Too many links, too many words in my brain.
Seriously, it's...
dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic, and you can select to get some wines delivered to your doorstep. You can do 3 bottles or 12 bottles. You can do bubblies, rosés. They just announced a 12 pack of dark, deep reds for Christmas.
Yeah. Is that like a limited thing?
It is a limited thing. Like you can only.
I'm going to need like four of those. Like you guys have to understand if you have been drinking wine for a long time, like it was mentally difficult for me to make the transition. Shay kept telling me even before the podcast, you got to switch to dry farm. You got to switch to dry farm. And I'm like, yeah, but I like really love my big Bordeaux. Like mm-hmm. how can I let go of my big Bordeaux? They actually exist in the natural wine world.
They do.
And now they exist in a 12 pack. Mm-hmm. So.
Yep. The bolder side, 12 dark bold reds for days, for day 10 and 12 of our days of our wine winter offer. So that's just exciting. Anyway. Okay. I am drinking a sparkling
wine.
Okay,
Shay. What are you drinking? Okay. Oh, whatever.
Nuit Blanche again. Done this one before. Still drinking it. N-U-I-T-S. How do you say that? Nuit.
What Blanche. Did you say? I'm terrible.
I know it's hard. N-U-I-T-S. N-U-I-T. Nuit. Nuit. Oh, duh.
Nuit.
Nuit Blanche.
Yeah. Nuit Blanche.
Nuit Blanche. Sparkling wine from the Loire Valley, 40% Chardonnay grapes, 40% full Blanche grapes, and 20% Pinot Noir. So what I like about this wine is that I cannot find it online. It's like it doesn't exist to anybody but dry farms.
It's an enigma.
It's an enigma. Okay. There's a glitch in the matrix.
Right.
So it's, I don't know if you can drink this anywhere else, but every time I open a bottle of this, I'm just like, come to mama. and then I drink it. Nuit Blanche. It's a Brut.
It just means white night.
Sparkling wine from the Loire Valley. Absolutely fabulous. And I get that in my bubbly subscription from dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic. And when you do get your first wine order from Dry Farms, you get a bottle for just a penny with your first order when you use our link. So make sure that you do that. Give them a checkout.
So check it. Like if you want just some bubbly for the holidays, that means you could get a 3-pack of bubbly and a red for the 3-pack price.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We're talking about a penny.
Yes. That's a good deal
I'll
for you.
I'll send you the penny. No, I won't. Don't quote me.
All right.
I think we need to do something else really exciting.
Oh, yeah. It's for our one, giveaway announcement.
So first of all, a huge thank you to American Blossom Linens because we're closing out this year. You guys, we basically started this podcast the day COVID started.
Literally.
You know, technically.
Yeah.
And so that was very interesting as two homemakers who had a vision for bringing something to fellow homemakers to now have this huge paradigm shift within entertaining and socializing and going out in public, hospitality, just everything that we do. Obviously, we all know the pandemic has touched every area of our life. And we're so grateful for our advertisers who have seen this as a beautiful platform for them to share their message as well. So a huge thank you to American Blossom Linens. We are talking about beautiful, modern, vintage, organic, Texas-grown cotton sheets that you can dress your bed in and you can sleep in confidence knowing the backstory behind the product that you just purchased. It's everything you want it to be. And that the purchase you've made, again, in that spirit of better, not more, is a lifetime purchase. So no more running to Walmart or Kohl's or the department store to replace your sheets every 10, 12, 16 months. This is a lifetime purchase. And today we are so pleased to announce a winner of a queen size set.
Yes.
Of American Blossom Linens. And this all took place over on Instagram. So I'm just saying, like, if you can't just take the 30 seconds and download the Instagram app and then follow us over at Homemaker Chic Podcast, you're sort of missing out because Jessie Mae Danson at Danson for Joy, adorable handle.
Yeah, that is.
Hello, let me move those books so you can sit down. Coffee, tea. Oh, that musical laughter is my husband and my five children, and I'm dancing for joy. Miss Thang, you just won a queen size set of American Blossom Linens. So what you need to do is What does she need to do? Head over to the new website
or
and email us?
Yes.
Or?
Yes. We have a new website. Homemakerchicpodcast.com. And our email's working for the first time in 8 months. So yay.
So if you've tried to reach out to us and you're like, they're just ignoring us. No, yeah. Actually, it's because your email is out floating in the stratosphere. So yeah. info@homemakerchic.com. info@homemakerchic.com.
No. Nope. That's just wrong.
Oh, thanks. You didn't tell me it changed.
info@homemakerchic.
The Homemaker Chic Podcast. info@homemakerchicpodcast.com. Jesse Mae Danson, please let us know your address so we can get those shipped right out to you.
That's very exciting.
Congratulations. Mm-hmm.
And thanks to everybody who entered. That was really fun. I think we need to do some serious giveaways in 2021.
Yeah, please. Mm-hmm.
Please. And if you guys, now that our email is working, will you guys email us if you have ideas for episodes that you'd like to us to do? If you have ideas for sponsors that you think would be a really good fit for Homemaker Chic Podcast, or if you have a business that you're like, hey, I really want to put this out there to Homemaker Chic listeners, email us info@homemakerchicpodcast.com. We don't check Instagram messages, so please don't do that. I mean, our assistant tries to help us, but like it's
too much.
It's like jumping into the pit of a volcano and it's no bueno.
Holding your children.
Yes. Right. Imagine you're drowning and then someone hands you a baby. All right.
Okay.
That was fun. Are we done here? No, I'm just
Are we done? Because we don't know what we're talking about today.
I have been looking for my pencil for the last 25 minutes.
It was in
my hair. Gosh. Okay. Dang. I have a thought. This has nothing to do with anything potentially that we're going to talk about.
No.
Okay.
Okay.
It doesn't have to do with Princess Diana either. Although I did watch some more of those.
Oh my gosh. Okay. You're only like 23 years late to the game. I know. I'm just saying.
She dies? I didn't know she died. I'm just kidding. That's not funny.
She was a fashion icon? What? Spectator pumps? What?
Okay. I had this idea.
Okay.
I have been taking my pictures in my studio. Mm-hmm. That word is so stupid for what my space is, but it's my studio.
Just go with it.
It makes me sound super fancy. I've been posting them over on Instagram mainly because I like the accountability aspect of it. And people are really mean. And so their feedback can be honest for the artist to hear like, oh, mm-hmm. Okay, you're right. I tried to cut that corner and you called me out. That can be sort of helpful sometimes.
You're way nicer than me.
But the reaction has been like shockingly big. Like these photos are getting so much interaction, comments, private messages. And it made me think why, like, what is it about humans that are drawn? Okay. And I'm bringing back sort of this Italian Renaissance flair. Okay.
Yeah.
That's my style that I really enjoy of art. And so that's mm-hmm. some of these I've been creating. That's kind of the flair I'm bringing. And I was thinking, particularly mm-hmm. about Americans, when commerce is good, when we're in control of our businesses, when we're in control of our bank accounts, when we're in control of, like, we enjoy so much freedom in this country. Mm-hmm. And we do, you guys. Okay. I know that you have to wear a mask when you go to Costco, but we have so much freedom in this country. It's a really beautiful thing. When we're in control of all these things, we're chasing the carrot, right? We're chasing the money. We're chasing the next promotion, whatever it may be. But I feel like COVID has sort of turned this on its head a little bit because we're not able to be in control of, like, let's say I own a restaurant, right? I'm completely mm-hmm. out of control right now with mm-hmm. what that means for my business. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this movement, particularly just on social media, but there is a giant tsunami of people that are orienting themselves towards art. It's almost like when we don't have the commerce to express ourselves in, or we don't have control over those things, then we're turning to art to express something that's inexpressible in us. And it made me think, like, where does art come from? And like, what's its purpose? Right? Because it's the same kind of thing. Like when things, sorry, I keep cutting you off. Go ahead. Have a thought. And then we'll keep talking. Go ahead.
No, I'm just, my mind's just whizzing. Like just historically, I mean,
historically, yes.
Historically, we don't, even just within our own like humanity, we don't, you know, it is necessity being the mother of invention. And we've talked a lot on this show about noise and turning down the noise.
Right.
So when you have a worldwide situation that turns down the noise or the ability to just go to the mall and wander around mindlessly, or I'm like, that's not even my thing. But I remember back living in the suburbs, I would be like, oh my gosh, I need a fix. I'm going to Target.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And so like that gets turned off. And then the real you starts to come out.
Yeah, you know, it's not as easy to numb it.
The Renaissance was. It was a rebirth of art and classical, you know, philosophy and things like that. And so like
even music, you know, music. I was totally guilty of that. Like when I was feeling that kind of funky, stale, we would go to our favorite bakery, the Anjou Bakery, and then we would go antiquing. And that's what we would do. Antiquing in a mask. We have this antique store that's great, but it's like 50,000 square feet. And it's stressful with kids anyway. My kids are pretty good antiquers, but you know, it's still kids doing that in masks. Like it just took the fun out of it for me. I don't enjoy it anymore. And so I haven't gone. Like I've only been there once since COVID happened. And I used to go like every week. So it's pretty. And so I found, like you said, when that noise is quieted, when that's not an option anymore, we talked about this last episode. We are creatures. We want to create. We are made in the image of our great creator. And we will always create something, right? But I feel like for some reason during this COVID thing, people aren't just creating business ventures or they're not just making money. That's not the point. There is like an art resurgence that's coming out of this. And it's cool to see. People are so creative and amazing. And man, it kind of makes me wonder what we've been missing out on this whole time.
Right?
Yes.
Well, and I think too, just the, I think what, you know, okay, like, so for the first couple of weeks, maybe it was a novelty. Maybe we were all just laughing at the memes and we were binge watching Netflix or Hulu or Amazon or whatever. And then like anything after a few weeks, you're like, this is not really that funny anymore. This is not really that entertaining anymore. And, you know, with the Renaissance, that was them turning back to the ancient ways, like the ancient aesthetic of Rome and Greece. And so even us as creators, you know, we're looking back like, okay, what have we missed out on since this whole bombardment of information came to us? Now we're kind of like jumping over that and like looking back. What are we capable of? What would we do? You know, okay, I've seen Netflix. We're done now.
Yeah, like, it's just boring.
Now what?
It's just boring. It's boring. You could be endlessly entertained and it's just boring.
There was an old commercial a long time ago where a guy was like at the computer and it was like, you have reached the end of the internet.
I remember that.
Wouldn't that be kind of nice?
Do you remember when Facebook used to do that? Like, there's no new things to show you.
No, I never have like really like been a Facebooker. Like I'm always like hop on, hop off. I went to it reluctantly, however many a decade ago. It's always been like a necessary evil, but no,
it's like opening the door to like a frat party at 3 a.m. and you're just
now
like,
it's time. What if like there was a pop-up? Hey, loser, you've been on here too long.
Get off. Go do something.
Go create. I tell my kids all the time, like I have two deep desires for you. One, that you would feel the weight of your sin.
Yes. Amen.
Two, that you are a creator and not a consumer.
Yes.
As to the best of your ability.
Yep. Amen to that too. I think that's great. I did a self-portrait, which was like the hardest thing I've ever done. I feel like I don't know.
I really just can't imagine. Like,
it was so hard.
I have self-portraits in my mind.
It was so hard.
And I still haven't talked to you about my idea.
No.
Like, right. But I can't imagine the vulnerability of what you did.
Super vulnerability. I don't like that word at all, but I know what you mean.
Well, it is.
But it was.
Like a different one.
Luckily, I have Photoshop, so some of the vulnerability was removed. This wasn't unedited vulnerability. By the way, another sidebar to our sidebar. I thought about paintings. Okay, I'm a whatever person and somebody's going to paint me. That was the original filter. Okay, oil painting. They're not going to paint on your wrinkles and your zits and your chin hairs. They're going to be like, okay, we're trying to make you look good because that's what makes the person happy with it. And thinking humans have never been captured in this likeness ever in history, ever. Even when I was growing up, it's like you got a roll of film and 24 photos. Use them wisely, right? I mean, you just didn't endlessly.
Oh, I had like a big zit in the middle of my forehead in all my wedding photographs. And I'm like, really, dude?
Yeah, there was no Photoshop back then.
No, it came out like we got married and then like the next year digital photography came.
Yeah.
Like that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Wait. Another sidebar. Old commercial back then. There was this lady and she was like, dying to go to Paris. This old lady, it was a commercial, and she asked somebody to take her picture like you do in Paris in front of the Eiffel Tower, and she gets home and her head is chopped off in the photograph. And that was the ad like the year before we went. And I said, Joel, that will not happen to me. And we bought like the first most archaic, horrible Fuji digital camera.
Yeah. Just to
so
make
that
sure.
wouldn't be my story. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, when I went, I have all my Europe photos from my time in Paris on CDs, and I bought a CD drive so I could like get them off and get them somewhere where I could look at them and see them. And like the CDs are so old, it won't read them. I'm like, it's here.
Stop.
I know.
No, there's got to be some company you can send them to.
I know. That's on my to-do list. Okay. Anyway.
So that's what my kids tell me about my old hard drives with all the baby pictures. They're like, you know, these old hard drives don't work, right? I'm like,
somebody.
I can't even think about that. I can't go there. I'm too sentimental.
Somebody will make them work. Okay. So I'm doing this self-portrait and holding your hands is very difficult. Holding your head is very difficult. Just all these angles, and Stu's trying to direct me, and I'm just like trying to get him to understand what I'm trying to do. And I'm like, you're doing it wrong. And then he's like, I hate working with you. And I'm just kidding. He didn't say that. He was very helpful, but it was really hard. So we get it done. And I like completely crashed last night, like fatigue. Just as soon as this picture was done, I just went. And I thought, you are actually mentally
birthing
something. And that's exactly what it felt like. I took a bath. I ate pancakes for dinner and I'm like, got a good night's sleep. And I woke up this morning. I'm like, okay, let's crush it again. But it was like, we don't mentally fatigue ourselves very often in our culture. We're not like, am I going to eat today? Like, do I need to go? Will I food, shelter, survival? You know, it's obviously I'm speaking generically because I know that there are people who have to have those concerns, but on the whole, our culture doesn't deal. We deal with stress, right? Mm-hmm. We deal with busyness, with noise, but we don't deal with mental or even physical fatigue, deep fatigue, really. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I just hiked up a mountain to shoot this deer. I don't know if anyone's ever butchered a pig here, but that is physical fatigue. Like I have never experienced in my life.
We have to do that next week. And I'm like, I'm just like mentally trying to gear up for it.
I know.
Like, okay. Next week I will temporarily die.
Yeah.
And then I will come back.
Yes, you will come back.
I will come back.
Yeah.
But no, because, you know, I've been intimating to Shay that I have this idea for a YouTube video and I am pregnant with this idea.
Yeah.
It has to come out. I tried parts of it this morning and it was a bomb and it felt like false labor, like where you get all your hopes up.
Yes.
And then, hey, guess what? You're still 200 pounds and pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like, wow. So yes, that. Yes.
Yes. I just couldn't. It's I done. Couldn't believe
yeah.
the pent. I guess the pent up energy from just being home, being in COVID, not being able to distract myself with so many different things. It was really kind of a beautiful feeling in a way. It was hard, mm-hmm. but it was good.
Well, I think it's like even similar to fasting. A lot of people will say that yeah. about fasting.
Yeah.
That then you get razor focused because you don't realize, like, you know, even if you're not a snacker or whatever, you don't realize the emotional connection you have to food. And like a technology fast. So we do mm-hmm. a big technology fast every January.
Yep.
And after a couple of days, you just realize, okay, well, I am a human. I got all this stuff inside. I mean, they're going to channel it staring at a screen.
Yes.
And let the screen talk back to me, or I'm going to make something. It is really incredible mm-hmm. what that does. And so we've been like as a culture in a way on a huge fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need to kind of, I mean, here's the thing, and this is kind of bad news, but let it be good news. You can't control what's happening there. You can't control what your state does, what your governor does, what your local businesses do. You can't control what the CDC does. You can't control mm-hmm. any of those things. You just can't. And that can be a harsh reality. But if that is the case, then what do you do? Mm-hmm. What do you do? And I think it could be a good pivoting point. You know, I think pruning is always hard, but it's always a good thing. And I don't know. It's just kind of exciting. I mean, I didn't mean to talk for that long about that. I just thought it was an interesting thing. I've been thinking a lot about it lately, about art, the need to create, where that comes from. It's, yeah, interesting idea. Hmm.
Well, and I think just, you know, there's, you know, I had a little breakdown last night about, well, I had a big breakdown last night about COVID because I'm so.
Tell me about it.
I'm just mentally grieved. I just grieved.
Yeah.
I just finally grieved from, you know, I think there are a lot of things that we have been shamed into not being allowed to miss or not being allowed to mourn.
Yeah.
Okay. Whether it's grinding your own coffee at the store or just looking down and you're shopping for beautiful produce and there's a big red arrow telling you where to stand. I'm sorry, Blake. Those, you are allowed to grieve those things. You're allowed, those things are allowed to agitate you. And it doesn't mean that you don't care about other people. It means that you're a human. And you have feelings and emotions and you enjoy your freedom or you enjoy your autonomy or just the aesthetic of grinding the dang coffee beans at the store, whatever. And I just, all of it, those are just lame examples. But I know those of you that are listening, you have your own examples of things that you used to do that added to your human experience and now you can't do them anymore. And I don't think that being upset about those things takes away from your love for the elderly or caring about those that are vulnerable. I think it's just an acknowledgement, like, this really sucks and we're all in it and none of us really have the skill set to know how to handle this. And so mm-hmm. we're just mucking about. And yeah, I just started crying mm-hmm. yesterday at dinner. It just got to me. It was like someone just flicked a scab off and I couldn't stop crying. Mm-hmm. I was sad for myself. I was sad for my children. I was sad for my grandparents. I was sad for, the world as a whole, just knowing like this is worldwide. I was sad for single people in their apartment, just alone.
Yeah.
And I just, all of it, just frigging A, it just got to me and I lost it.
Well, it's a mourning of the life that once was.
Right.
You know, whether or not you agree with the changes or not, none of that. It's, right. But the,
I don't wanna,
your
I'm
life
not
is
about
not
that. Yeah.
The same. And it probably won't be fully the same again.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Except for my kids. I'm like, are you like a frog in water? Do you even?
Yeah.
I know you've had your moments of frustration, but do you even realize like what's going down here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's kind of like 9/11 where things don't ever fully go back. And I know that that's sounds discouraging to me as even that comes out of my mouth. Like I want them to go back, you know, but, I don't know. Lots of thoughts.
Yeah. Lots of thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I'm channeling creativity as well. So after my good cry last night, went to bed very early.
Yes.
And I went to Aiden. So I have this drone for my YouTube channel and it's Mammer Jammer and I don't know how to use it. I haven't had a lesson yet. And I just told Aiden today, I'm like, look, like 10 feet in the air, you got to just show me what to do with this thing. But I went to him last night. I'm like, okay, and I have this vision for a video and
tell
I
us
don't
about
need
it.
To unpack all the details. No, I'm not going to tell you because
okay.
Like if it doesn't come Sheesh. Off, I'm going to be so sad. Stop. Did I just snort?
A little bit.
I'm still getting better, guys. So if there's like body function noises, I'm sorry. You're just going to have to stay tuned on YouTube.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to give you, I want a hint. I'll give you a hint. I'm going to do, so last year I did something I was super proud of. It was way out of my comfort zone. I did a reading of The Ode to Autumn by John Keats, which is just like my favorite poem. I think it's so beautiful. And so this is going to be a reading of Luke 2, the Christmas story. Mm. And I'm very excited and I'm so nervous that it's not going to come out with what's swirling around in my head. But anyways,
are you going to dress Junior up like a baby?
No. It's not going to be a reenactment.
Okay.
This is like purely artistic.
Okay.
But it is, but the reading will go over, will be a read over, a narration over the art.
Okay.
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 Ooh. So anyways, got up really early this morning, checked the forecast last night. Sunrise was going to be beautiful. Woke the teenage boy up at 6:30, which he was, you know,
super happy about,
but super happy about because he has to fly the drone. We spend like an hour and a half together. Sunrise is glorious. Down country roads at the lake. We're doing all these shots. We get home and none of them recorded to the SD card.
Why would that be?
Well, he blames it on me.
Of course.
So, we'll see. We're now I have to watch the forecast for like the next 4 days because the weather is just going to tank.
Dang.
You know, a lot of times the sunrise here is just you can't see it. It's just cloudy. So this morning's was like heavenly, which is what I needed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
You know, isn't that funny? When you are giving creative birth, you do hit that point where it's like the crowning and you're just like screaming and like so angry. There's always
there's always that point
in creating where you're just like, this isn't working. This is not what I thought it was gonna be. Right. And you like you have to get over that hump. Every time I try, you know, I was doing this lemon shot where the lemons were balancing on the scale and they just kept rolling off. And I was getting so mad.
You need some duct tape or something.
Oh no, I got my little kid over here, but
okay.
I know this might come as a surprise, but my kids took my double-sided tape and my sticky clay from my studio.
Why would they touch anything that's yours? What kind of children do you have?
Okay, I've got some encouragement. This is we're going in a little different direction here.
Good.
I listened to this really great podcast the other day, and it was Rachel Jankovic. I think it was at a Grace Agenda that this had been recorded, but she was talking about the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000 and how that was a miracle. And, you know, God provided what people needed, but that when that was done, Jesus didn't just miraculously clean up, which he could have done. Mm-hmm. He like sent the disciples out to go and gather up what was left to essentially clean up. And you're talking about cleaning up after 5,000 people, like go collect what's left, you know, go pick up the stuff that's all over the fish bones, the bread bits, you know, and she even talks about how he says to go collect crusts. Like some people wouldn't eat their crusts. That crust is not good. No, I don't like the crust. And what a funny thing that is. But it made me sort of explore this idea through listening to this. I'll post a link to it over on our Patreon page to this, this podcast episode. But essentially it was like, God can do this amazing work in your life and he can bring about incredible things, which he does. And yet you're still called to clean up. Just speaking of unruly children, it made me think of it because I was telling myself that as I was doing the breakfast dishes today and being like, what did you, I'm sorry, did you expect like Mary Poppins? Like, what did you expect from life? Yeah. Do clothes fold themselves? Like, we're, this isn't supernatural. Do you know what I mean? I know Yes. That sounds so simplistic, but it was really helpful for me to hear and be like, look, these are people who sat at Christ's feet. He was right there. He just did a miracle. Just. And then he doesn't do the miracle of cleanup. Why? Because I think that's what shapes us as humans. The work, the labor, the fatigue. That is refinement. That's sanctification, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's what I keep telling myself now. Even the disciples, they cleaned up. You can clean up too.
Oh, man. I just said to Joel this morning, we have a boot room off of the kitchen and it's, you know, where everybody drops their boots and the for now the washer and dryer are in there and there's milking buckets and
I feel like I'm always talking about my girls' bedroom and you're always talking about your
talking
boot
about
room.
My boot room. Well, I said to Joel, I'm like, if I could just hire someone, like I would love a housekeeper. Okay, even once a week. But if I could just hire someone to keep this boot room clean, like for the love. So I'm not stepping like right now there's like fake Christmas we have some fake Christmas trees mm-hmm. and I'm about to film my house tour.
Yeah.
And like, I guess I'm going to put these fake trees up because I have them.
Yep.
And the bags, the big like bags are in there. It's just so awful.
Yep.
There's milking rags with pea gravel stuck in them that were frozen to the ground and mm-hmm. so bad.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm.
But that it is helpful to think about that. Yeah. And being like, what? I mean, there's no miracle. There's the labor.
No there's no Calvary coming in.
There's no Calvary. Yeah. There's just the
Pun
hard
intended.
Work. And then as if providentially, the next podcast I listened to was talking about when you're doing these things for your family, when you're washing the dishes, when you're folding the clothes, when you're making the meal, you're not doing those things. It's not because your family's worthy because they're a sinner just like you. Mm-hmm. You know, ultimately you're doing them for the glory of the Lord. Like, and she was really encouraging, like do these things as if you were doing them for Christ. Cause it's in his name that you're doing them. It's for his glory mm-hmm. that you're doing them. It's in his service that you're doing them. And that actually makes it easier because when you look at your family and you make them dinner and the kids don't eat it because they don't want to eat steamed broccoli. It can be very discouraging. Super discouraging in your work or when you clean their room and it just gets messy again. And you're like, you're not worthy of my time. I have wasted my life cleaning up your bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Those are hours I'll never get back.
Mama has goals in her life and they don't involve cleaning up your crap. It is really helpful to think I'm not doing these things for them. I'm not doing anything on earth because anyone on earth is worthy of those things. Right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, just a little encouragement. Stick that in your back pocket, ladies, because I've been carrying it around with me this week and it's been very helpful, especially when you're called to extra things around the holidays. Right.
Yes. Which I think moms really are. I mean, it's
big time.
Yeah.
Big time. And
not a lot of husbands like, do you need me to start that cookie dough and put it in the fridge for you overnight?
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's really happening.
Yeah. Maybe it is. Maybe. Not here. Not here.
Not here. I sat down, speaking of creatively, yesterday morning with the kids and I sent Joel to the store and I said, you know what? Like, don't cheap out. I know it's going to be painful. Just buy all the boxed gingerbread, please. Mm. Get the train for the boys. Get the house for the girls. Get the little house with like four houses in the box for the one that's going to break 3 out of 4 mm-hmm. while she creates. And yesterday, my kitchen was covered in high fructose corn syrup, basically. And, you know, telling Junior not to eat it.
Yeah. And this is look gingerbread and look candy and look
this
frosting.
This is the candy from the candy factory floor. And so you can't eat it.
Yeah.
It's 4 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they had, they got their little creative gun off and I had the good mom award for the day.
That's nice. And then you got to clean it up.
And I got to clean it up basically.
See, you needed this yesterday. Mm-hmm. We should have had this conversation yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Clean up after the 5,000.
I never really thought about that. I guess shame on me. Like when they said, like, get what's left. Like I was thinking like what's left in the basket.
Yeah.
I wasn't really thinking of cleaning up other people's food, which to me is really gross. I don't like touching other people's used food.
No, they probably didn't either.
No.
I always heard it like proving the miracle. Like, look, there's stuff left.
Yeah. Well, I took it as left in the basket. Like I took it as left, not used. Mm-hmm. I didn't take it as left, like go out and clean up that
mess.
Well,
yeah, but it talks about crusts, which
I know, but I forgot that part.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it's been really helpful. I mean, I think I will take any encouragement that I can get.
Right. But,
I will take any encouragement I can get. Yeah. And it's been good. You know, I think like we're having Stu's brothers living with us now for the winter, and he's going to be helping us to take care of some stuff on the farm, which is fabulous because our days are so full with homeschooling and just general life that we're not getting to those things. We're just not.
It's all that.
I love when they scream at each other right outside. Don't be upstairs right above me while I'm recording. Be 2 feet behind me outside. Do that instead. But it's been really great. And I know it will be a sanctifying process to open your heart to serving others. You know, it goes back to what we talked about with hospitality at the beginning of this season. Mm-hmm. Like hospitality isn't just, hey, I made something really beautiful and delicious and you want to come for dinner. Like that's not what we're talking about.
I ironed my napkins.
Yeah. I'm like feeling really on top of it right now. So you should come now, right now. Don't come tomorrow because it'll be a hot mess.
Right.
Exactly. And, it was
my boot room is clean. Come now.
It was really great. And since we're on the topic, I'll just continue on. In another part of this same podcast, Rachel talks about when she first started entertaining and how, oh my gosh, sorry about that. She starts talking about how she would,
I couldn't tell,
make, like she printed out these recipes for these lemon souffles. And she's like, I'm going to make this amazing dessert because I can and it's delicious. And this is reflective of who I am as a cook and what I like and what I like to eat. And she's like, I'm now known as like the sheet cake lady. Like it's just Texas sheet cake. That's it. That's what I bring to everything. Why? Well, because lemon souffles take a ton of time to prepare. They take fancy ingredients. You have to eat them at just the right time. They're really hard to make.
Don't slam the oven door.
Don't slam the oven door. Right. So that wasn't conducive to her life anymore.
Yeah.
And she was like, look, I had to die to myself because I want to make the souffles. It reflects me. It's an artistic expression of what's inside. But that we can't do those things at the cost of the most important things, right? So, for example, if you're wanting to put out your Christmas decorations, right, or you're trying to make it fabulous and you're biting your family's heads off because they're messing with your mojo, you might just have those priorities a little bit flip-flopped. And if you're not having people for dinner because you want to make something that isn't conducive, right? Or if you're not meeting a need because you can't meet it necessarily in the way that you want to, then that's a good place to check yourself as well. Mm-hmm. And when she was talking about this, it was like a dagger in my heart because we were like, but I want to make the lemon souffles. I want to.
I can. Right.
But it was such a good reminder, you know, kicking back to hospitality, even kicking back to the creative expression we were talking about earlier in this episode. Mm-hmm. We want to make this art and there is a place for that. Absolutely. But there's also a place for Texas sheet cake where you're like, I could make this with three ingredients 3 days before. It'll feed an army and it'll be fine.
I really resonate with what you're saying because, I mean, like I have six kids. I know there's people listening that have a lot more. I love you for that. But, you know, after the fourth kid, like things really changed. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't inviting people for full out all the fixins and a macaron tower
yeah.
Easter dinner anymore. I'm like, look, just because I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. Like, it's not, I can, let me be clear. I can, at the expense of my family.
Yes, exactly.
And that's been a very hard pill to swallow. And I feel like I have to swallow it every holiday, every birthday, every time I'm on Instagram and I see what somebody else is doing. I have to swallow that pill.
Yep.
And as stupid and silly as it sounds, is that's why now I buy boxed gingerbread for my children at the holidays. Mm-hmm. Because I used to make it and I used to roll it all out on sheets and blah, 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 blah. Buy all the bulk candy and do it for everyone. And now actually I get to do it that for myself. Mm-hmm. So I make a homemade gingerbread house because I enjoy it. And everybody else can just decimate and destroy and be creative. They don't care. And I'm not over in the fetal position in tears in the kitchen.
Right.
So they got to make their memory. They got to be creative. I got to feel like a mom that's doing something pretty much at my expense because they are literally destroying my kitchen.
Yeah.
And they're happy. And then I can still have my moment with doing something artistic that I want to do. And I'm not like dead. By the time it's time to do something for myself.
Or completely
exactly.
Resentful of your whole family.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, and I think it's funny how both of these things sort of came together here at the end of this podcast, because mm-hmm. I think, like we talked about last episode, you got to get it out. Get that creativity out. Find your 15 minutes. The pitfall we can get into is making every single thing that we do, every single moment of every day, self-expression.
Yeah.
As if it's reflective of us. And that's a depressing mm-hmm. place to live, ultimately, especially when Christ has called you to die to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're feeling like a little nauseated and this, okay, I'll make it about me. If I'm feeling a little bit nauseous, it's usually because there's like way too much Ange in the picture. It's like, yeah, you're offended that there's socks on the floor. You're offended that the dishes aren't done yet. You're offended.
Right.
And I don't really have a right to be offended because they're children or this is farm life or whatever. Like, I need to like less of me.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. And find appropriate and timely outlets for that creativity or that self-expression. You know, it sounds so stupid, but I did order the silk pajamas, by the way, for myself, since Stu wouldn't do it for me. And it's a small thing. It takes no time. And it's just like, okay, put these on before you go to bed. And it's a small way to sort of acknowledge, you know, I like this. I feel good this way, right? Oh, now we've got a crier out there. But that could be manifested in different. Maybe it's just wearing red lipstick. Maybe it's organizing mm-hmm. your purse. Maybe it's taking a photo. Maybe it's making a gingerbread house. Like, it could be so many mm-hmm. different things. Just don't wear that badge as your identity. Find the appropriate outlet, and then you can do what you need to do to get through real life. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep.
Clean up the mess. I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Good talk. Good talk.
Good talk. Ladies, we hope that you guys have an excellent Thursday. If you don't yet follow us over on Instagram, do that at Homemaker Chic Podcast. Show some love to our sponsors, dryfarmwines.com/homemakerchic for that old world wine delivered right to your doorstep. Of course, visit AmericanBlossomLinens.com. I believe you still have time to get your order in if you would like those as a Christmas present. You can buy a Christmas present for yourself.
Use the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20. Get 20% off and Dancing for Joy, or at Dancing for Joy over on Instagram. Don't forget to reach out to us. Give us your address so we can get those sheets to you ASAP.
Yes. And again, if there's something you would like Homemaker Chic to talk about, please email us info@homemakercheekpodcast.com, because we are up and rolling now. New website is up. We'd love to hear from you, unless you're going to be mean. Then
just don't bother.
Just write the email.
We got enough of that.
And just Don't send it.
Put it in drafts.
Put it in drafts.
Just don't send it.
There you go.
Just get it out of your system.
There you go. There you go.
Don't send this. Tomorrow, hashtag Ultra Feminine Friday. Show us what you're wearing. Show us what's making you feel feminine. I have a new plaid skirt.
Oh.
I'm just going to wear it every day through the end of the year.
Yeah, baby.
And hashtag what I'm sipping. What I'm sipping.
Nuit Think Blanche you. Is what you should be sipping.
Alrighty.
So good.
I think we're good.
Okay, ladies, have an excellent weekend. Thanks for joining us here, and we will meet you back here on Monday. Cheers.
Monday. Cheers.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.